And another episode of the Anxiety Rx podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Russell Kennedy, a physician and clinical neuroscientist who suffered from crippling anxiety for many, many years, as if you guys haven't heard that 1,000 times. But I never get tired of saying it, or maybe I do. Today's episode is about social anxiety. I've had lots of people ask me about doing an episode on social anxiety, and here it is. So a quick introduction of what social anxiety is. Social anxiety is this fear that we develop when we are going into a social situation. Now, that could be a party, that could be speaking in front of other people, any interaction where we feel like we're going to get judged, we're going to get looked at as inferior, abnormal, freaky, whatever it is. And I've been there. I've had all types of anxiety. I've had health anxiety, social anxiety. I've had the gamut. I think it all comes from the exact same source, which is this alarm state that's in our body that our mind is trying to make sense of. You know, anxiety isn't so much a thinking state that manifests in the body. It's a feeling state that manifests in the mind. And our mind is our worst enemy in a lot of ways. So today's episode is really about understanding what social anxiety really is and how to understand it a little bit more. You know, it's not just fear of social situations, but it's really a fear of connection. It's a fear of being connected, and really is a fear of being connected with yourself, because you're the one that's judging you. Those other people in the social situation, no matter how awkward you are, their opinion of you doesn't matter as much as your opinion of yourself. And it's your opinion of yourself, your separation from yourself, that just makes social anxiety just so much more painful. So if we understand social anxiety is not so much what's happening out there with those other people as what's happening inside of you and the alarm that gets triggered in your system, because anxiety, social anxiety is a fear of being rejected, excluded, not belonging, but it's mostly a fear of being rejected, excluded, and not belonging from yourself. You know, it's not so much a thinking issue, but this alarm state in your body, and your system perceives danger where there really isn't one. And we have this thing in our system called social engagement system. The social engagement system is eye contact, tone of voice, prosody of voice, which is the up and down lilting nature of voice, facial expressions, and body language. Now, those things come together to form what's called the social engagement system. Now, thousands of years ago, when we were running from a predator or getting involved with a war with another tribe, we didn't need to be social and connected when we were running away from a threat. So evolutionarily, we shut off that social engagement system when we're alarmed. Now, we're not living 60,000 years ago. We're living now, and that social engagement system is still getting shut off in the perception of threat. And that's what makes it so hard, is because we perceive that there's a threat. That creates more alarm in our system, which shuts off our social engagement system. And when our social engagement system isn't online, we can't interact with other people. So of course we're going to fear interacting with other people when our eye contact doesn't work, when our social engagement, when our voice is monotone, when we keep saying the same thing over and over again, when we're trying to be interested in someone else, when really we're just scared. We're not connected to ourselves. We're not in this place where we can be socially engaged because we have too much fear. And again, it's mostly fear of judgment from your very own self. That's where social anxiety comes from. It's fear of separation from yourself. And you create that separation unwittingly and unfortunately based on the fact that we shut off our social engagement system. When we're alarmed, when we go into alarm, even thinking about presenting something in front of an audience or going to a party creates this alarm in us, and that alarm shuts off our social engagement system. So of course, we're not going to be too crazy about going into a social situation when we're unarmed, when we don't have our social engagement system at the ready. So the amygdala in our brain associates social risk with literal survival risk. We're wired that way. So when we get into this place of social anxiety, the amygdala goes nuts. It fires off our body. We shut off our social engagement system. We can't connect with someone else. So why would we want to go into that situation? So what we do is avoid which we get a reward from. So we learn, I won't feel this pain if I just avoid social situations. But of course, that separates you from other people, which also separates you from yourself. And it gets worse, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. Avoidance is one of the worst things for anxiety. And one of the things that I do notice with people who have a lot of social anxiety is they had conditional love or approval growing up. They were only loved, or they perceived they were only loved, when they did something, when something was love-worthy. And I notice it a lot with enmeshed, like parents who are enmeshed with you. If you experience neglect, bullying, overly critical parents, if there is always this sense that you are being watched, or something, you could do something wrong at any moment, or there is shame-based parenting. If your parents shamed you for not being what they wanted you to be, or any kind of social rejection early in life, makes you a sitting duck for social anxiety, because that inner child, that younger part of us, remembers this danger and it reproduces us. All anxiety is separation anxiety, but it's also an age regression. We go back to the place where we felt that same pain. So if we're reproducing that pain in the idea of going into a social situation, we reproduce that alarm. That alarm shuts off our social engagement system, and we can't connect. And then we feel worse about ourselves because we can't connect. But it's not really our fault on a number of levels, because we've shut off the very system that we need to be able to connect with other people. So as I said, like public speaking, meeting new people, being in a group, speaking in meetings or in classrooms, being the center of attention, posting on social media, or here's one, receiving compliments or admiration or affection. How do you do that? How well do you accept compliments? I wrote this in my book. If someone says, hey, that's a really nice jacket, and you go, oh, I got it at a thrift store, it was only $5 or whatever. Or do you say, thank you, I appreciate that? How do you take compliments? Because how you take compliments is a good idea or a good estimation of how well your social engagement system is actually working. If you're engaged, if you have eye contact, tone of voice, positive voice, body language, facial expression that is engaged, which we have with our closest people, usually, not always, but usually, then we feel comfortable in that situation. If we don't have that, which is normal, it's normal to be in a situation where at a party and you feel uncomfortable if you don't have a lot of friends around you, or you don't feel like you can connect with someone. Of course, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Of course, that's going to make the alarm worse. And when the alarm gets worse, you shut off the system even more. So you get into this vicious cycle of more alarm, less ability to connect, more alarm, less ability to connect, and it just cycles on itself. So if we look at the brain, the default mode network, it kind of kicks in when it feels this alarm in our body through this process called interoception. Interoception is the mind reading the body, and it's happening all the time. So when your mind reads this alarm in your body, you start activating this default mode, this self-protective kind of familiar pattern of withdrawal that we go into when we have anxiety. Now, this is theoretical. This hasn't been proven by anything, but it certainly seems to be borne out by my own experience with anxiety and my patients' experience with anxiety. But when the insular cortex, the part of our brain, deep, deep in the center of our brain, detects this alarm in our body, it fires us into the default mode, and it also fires up the amygdala to say, hey, we're in danger. When we're really not in danger. We're not in danger, but for all intents and purposes, if our amygdala says that we're in danger, we're kind of in danger. So what the mind does is it starts overthinking. It starts to try to think your way out of a feeling problem, which is, if you've listened to me before, you know that never works. Or you avoid, again, so you avoid social situations or you overthink them. Either way, you're not actually getting to the root of the problem. It's kind of a false rescuer, this sense that I'll explain it away. I'll go into my thoughts, I'll go into my worries, and that will somehow protect me. But that doesn't work. All it does is it just creates more disconnection from your social engagement system, more activation in your default mode. And when the default mode gets shut on like that, you go into this sort of caved state where you turn into yourself, you turn inward. Instead of being able to connect outward, you go inward. You do the opposite of the thing that you need the most to heal. So it's understanding that it's an alarm situation. It's not an anxiety issue. It's not a social anxiety. It's social alarm. You have alarm when you are faced with a social situation. That's what it is. It's not anxiety. It's alarm. And it's really important to understand that this is a body reaction that is being reflected by your mind, but it's not in your mind. You're not going to fix it with your mind. And I think that's where a lot of people really, really lose the plot when it comes to anxiety, is they try to treat worries with more worries or anti-worries or whatever it is. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. Now, there's nothing wrong with reassuring yourself, but that's not where the problem is. The problem is this alarm state that's stuck in your body that you're not addressing. And even the idea that you're going into a social situation creates a lot of anxiety for people. So social anxiety isn't about what you're thinking. It's about what you're feeling. And you're not going to fix it by more thinking. So what we need to do is create space between these racing thoughts and the sensation in your body, because they will link up together in the alarm anxiety cycle. When you worry in your mind, the alarm gets activated in your body. When the alarm gets activated in your body, you worry more in your mind and you get into this alarm anxiety cycle. Not only that, but when you're alarmed, you shut off the rational part of your brain that would tell you, hey, these things aren't anything to worry about. So not only do you make more worries, well, you know, I'm going to pass out, they're going to think I'm an idiot, whatever it is, but you don't have the wherewithal to see these worries as false. So it's understanding that it's a body issue more than a mind issue. So when you're looking at going into a social situation, you have to calm your body first. You can reassure your mind too, but your body has to go first. You have to use your body first, because that's the root cause of the problem. The root cause of the problem is this alarm that's in your body. Your mind is just making sense of it. Your mind is really just the byproduct of this alarm in your body. So when you think about going into a social situation, when you think about going to a party, when you think about having to address people, maybe in a public speaking thing, what happens to you? Is it a tightness in your throat? Is it like for me, it's in my solar plexus. Is it a sweating? Is it a nausea? Like, what is it exactly in your body that's creating this sense that you're not safe? And it's not today's version of you that's afraid of the interaction. It's the child in you. The child is afraid because they're going to reproduce the same alarm that they felt when they were disconnected before, for whatever reason. When you feel disconnected as a child, or abandoned or bullied or neglected as a child, you will create this alarm in your body. And when you're faced with a similar situation as an adult, your body will fire up the same way. All anxiety, bad anxiety, is an age regression. So we've regressed back to this time that we were bullied or abandoned or judged or didn't feel good enough on some level. We go back to that and we feel that same way in our body, and our mind just creates the same thoughts and worries now that it probably did back then. So again, social anxiety isn't about what's happening now. It's what happened back then. So stop rehearsing what you're going to say, obsessing over how you look. That's just the mind trying to avoid the feeling. Go into the feeling. How do I feel? How did I feel when I felt rejected, abandoned, bullied when I was younger? Find that in your body. Connect to that. Breathe into that. When you can connect with this younger version of you, and you can feel like you are connected to that younger version of you, social anxiety kind of disappears, because you're actually looking and understanding at the original part of the wound, the original place that the social anxiety started. So when you can reassure that younger version of you that you, as adult you, loves, accepts, connects with, has eye contact, has tone of voice, has prosody of voice, has body language, has facial expression. I know this sounds a bit weird. With the younger version of you, you can start treating social anxiety at its source, which is a child in you that doesn't feel safe. So you show the child that they're safe regardless of what other people respond to you. Now, I know that's easier said than done. But when you feel connected to yourself, you have so much more resilience to be able to handle anything else that happens in a social situation. And handling it in the moment is just self-touch. Touch over the place you have your alarm. Breathe in. Do a few rounds of the physiological sigh. Do 5 rounds. Do 10 rounds before you go into the party. I guarantee you, you'll feel better. Two quick sniffs in through your mouth, or through your nose, sorry. And then a long, slow exhale through pursed lips. And again. You can even do it with me now. Relax your shoulders, relax your jaw. Just two quick sniffs in, or two or three. And then slow exhale out. Now, if you do 5 or 10 rounds of that before you go in, I guarantee you, you'll be better. And if things are still tense, then go into the bathroom. Connect with yourself again. Put your hand over your chest. Look at yourself in the eyes. Reassure yourself, I've got you. Because you're really talking to the younger version of you. When you look into your own eyes, you are looking at the younger version of you. And if you can be calm and grounded using your breath, using humming, the physiological sigh, deep breaths, whatever it is, if you can do that and connect with the younger version of you, then you're treating social anxiety at its source, because it's the child in you that has the social anxiety. It's not the adult. And the child controls our body. So when the child controls our body and creates this alarm, again, we shut off the social engagement system. We can't make eye contact. Our voice gets really monotone. Our face gets really flat. And our facial and our body language becomes very blunted. So we're telling other people in a way, hey, I can't connect with you. So that just creates this vicious cycle where they don't feel connected to you. You don't feel connected to them. So you can't really, you wind up just trying to chase your tail, trying to think your way into connection, which you can't do. You have to feel your way into connection. And you feel your way into connection by finding that child, putting your hand over it, breathing into it, do some physiological sigh. Reassure that child. Go to a mirror. Look at yourself. Tell yourself you're doing okay. Breathe into the deepest parts of your lungs. When you learn how to breathe properly, it naturally slows your autonomic nervous system, and it naturally starts bringing that social engagement connection back to you. When your body is relaxed, your social engagement system naturally comes back online. So it's really important that you look at social anxiety as a feeling problem much more than a thinking one. You're not going to think your way out of social anxiety. So trying to positive think is not going to work. Try to avoid and try to create safety is not going to work. You have to go into your body. You have to treat the symptom directly, which is this alarm in your body. And the best way to do that in the short term, in the long term, it's to do MBRX program, my MBRX program, because that will teach you how to be safe in the long term. But in the short term, breath, very important. Connecting with yourself, just having a benevolent attitude towards yourself is so critical to bring that social engagement system back online. And the last thing that I'll tell you is it's really, well, I'll do more things, but it's really important to understand that it's not about them. It's about your younger self. It's about the child in you. It's not about your present day adult. You as an adult have the skills to be able to interact. You've done it before. You'll do it again. Social anxiety is a body-based memory of dissociation and disconnection. It's not who you really are. And you can heal not by changing what's out there, because that won't make a big difference. It'll help a little bit, but it's not going to make a big difference. The true root of the problem is this alarm that's stuck in your body, which is shutting off your social engagement system, which is making it really impossible for you to connect with other people. And this will be the last thing that I'll tell you in this one. Courage is so important. It's so important to go into social environments on the balls of your feet, not on your heels. It's so important to just adopt a courageous attitude, adopt the fact that you're going to take this child by the hand and you're going to say, we're going to have courage and we're going to go do this. We're just going to go in. We're going to connect. Because when you take charge of this, the alarm drops and your social engagement comes back on. If you're in a situation where you're on your heels, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. What's going to happen? What's this? What is this? What is this? Maybe we should run. As soon as you get into that, your social engagement system drops. But if you can engage faith and courage that you'll be fine, which you will be, ironically, if you adopt this faith and courage attitude, you'll be fine. You'll just go in there and you'll have faith and courage that everything will turn out okay. And it may not be perfect, but at least you're in charge. When you have faith and courage, you are in charge. When you go in there worried that something's going to happen, you're not in charge. Something else is in charge and it's not you. So courage is so important. Going in with a courageous attitude, but connecting with yourself, breathing, putting your hand on your chest, feeling yourself, connecting with yourself, and adding courage to that. Just telling yourself, I'm going to be courageous. I am going to go in there with faith and courage that I'm going to do this. And if you go in there on the balls of your feet saying that you're going to do it and you're going to be good doing it, and you're going to go and ask somebody and connect with somebody, you're going to do so much better in social anxiety. And I said that was the last thing, but there's one more thing. When you are talking to someone, people love talking about themselves. So ask them, is there something you're really excited about right now? What's going on with you right now? How's your whatever season you're in? How's your summer going? How is summer for you? Ask people about themselves. Get them talking about themselves, because that will engage their social engagement system, which will engage your social engagement system, which will allow you to feel like you're connected, which is really what you want. That's really what it comes down to, because when you connect with other people, you connect with yourself. And when you connect with yourself, you connect with other people. So faith and courage, grounding yourself at the same time, that's how you overcome social anxiety. And I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Anxiety Rx podcast. I created this show because I don't want you to have to suffer with anxiety the way that I did. And I truly wish I'd known this stuff 30 years ago. It would have changed everything for me. For more support, please explore my best-selling book, Anxiety Rx, or my very affordable online program, MBRX. Remember, all anxiety is separation anxiety, and mostly separation from that hurt part of you. So keep holding on to that part of you that hurts, and I'll see you next time.